Tonight I will go to Psalm 84. And probably at one time or other I taught from this psalm, but it's an incredible psalm of someone longing for God. And this is the psalm of the sons of Korah. And they speak about the wonder of being in the house of the Lord. Now for them, God said he would meet them at the in the tabernacle, right? He said he would meet them there. That was the meeting place of God. For us, where is the meeting place of God? We're the meeting place of God. We are the... What's that?
Whenever we pray.
And the Bible says to pray how often? Without ceasing, right? So we're constantly can find ourselves in the presence of God. But what he says is, how lovely is your tabernacle. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. He starts with this. It's a psalm of praise, a psalm of expression. Lord, it's wonderful to be where you are. That's really what he's saying, right? Where you are is lovely. Where you are is wonderful. He says, my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. There's a reflection here of thirst for God. It reminds me of a passage in the Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It reminds me of Jesus standing in Jerusalem and crying out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And here we can see a thirsty soul. Someone who is thirsting after God. Someone who is faints for the courts of the Lord. Someone whose heart and flesh cry out for the living God. In other words, he's consumed with being in the presence of the Lord. More important than life itself. More important than the body, the flesh. More important than the heart, the desires. Is to be with God. Well, that's quite an expression of desire, isn't it? And somehow, the Lord wants us to have this passion for him. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through the psalmist to show us this incredible passion for God. You ever been passionate about anything in your life? Name one thing that you've been passionate about. Must be something.
Candy Crush.
Okay. A particular video game.
Video game. Candy Crush.
You like Candy Crush? Okay. So some people are passionate about video games. What else can people be passionate about? Swimming pool in the summertime? Huh? Is nobody passionate about that? Oh, Archie's passionate about Carol. Yeah, okay. That's a good one, Arch.
That's a good one, yeah.
There's points for you, boy. Some people are passionate about travel, right? Some people are passionate about fishing, right?
Work.
Some people are passionate about work. Cooking. Boy, some people are just, they live to cook. Sewing. Whatever it is, there's lots of different passions out there. And the psalmist here says, I am passionate about God. This is something that I long for that is more precious to me than anything else in life. More precious. It would be good if we had this kind of passion for God, wouldn't it? If we had this growing hunger and thirst for God. Because the promise is, we'll be filled. The promise is, we will meet him and we will discover him in fresh ways. Come and drink at the fountain of life. Come and enjoy God. Come and seek the Lord. And there's a sense here where there's a longing being expressed here. Then he says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. You know, the temple was a huge construction, wasn't it? It was a huge building, and the birds would make their nests in it. It was an incredible edifice, and they would make their nests in it. And he said, even the swallows have found a home at your altars, O Lord, my King and my God. And it may very well be that at this time that this psalm was written that Israel was in exile, longing to be back there where they could be in the presence of God. But that exile, of course, was because of their own behavior. But wherever the timing of it, there is certainly expression of longing. And the psalmist remembers, oh, I remember even the swallows had shelter there. I wish I was one of them, almost, is what he's saying, right? Whoops, no way that way it went there. And then he says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. And the word Selah is a pause. As far as they can understand, Selah was just like a pause. Because these psalms were all put to music. So this was kind of a musical definition where you paused, where you stop and reflect upon what's been said. That's kind of what is the idea of it. So you say, blessed are those who dwell in your house, they'll still be praising you, Selah. They pause. Now what he says is, blessed are you those who dwell in your house, because they'll still be praising you. Why? Because they're in the presence of God. If you see the presence of God, if you get a glimpses of his glory, it will cause you to praise him. You won't have to be arm twisted. Somebody will have to come to you and say, well, won't you praise the Lord? Let me twist your arm until you do. It won't be that. It will be, you will automatically be found praising God if you are dwelling with God. Because he really is awesome. He really is glorious. He really is incredible. He is more precious than silver, more costly than gold. He is the great I am. He is, oh, the definitions and the titles that go on and on and on, the names and titles of God. Every one of them saying something about who he is. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. So we find some definite steps or places where the psalmist is saying where the blessing lies. I want a blessing. I want the blessing of God. I want to live in the blessing of God. And so he outlines some things that bring blessing. It's nice to know, isn't it? Because I want the blessing. So what can bring a blessing? Hunger and thirst for God. Lord, give me a passion for you. If you don't have it, ask for it. Give me a passion for you, Lord. Give me a hunger to be with you. Let me be found in your presence, Lord, because if I'm in your presence, I will be praising you. I will be praising you. Let me find all my strength in you, Lord. Blessed the man whose strength is in you. That is in the Lord. To find out, Lord, I have no strength in myself. Lord, my strength is in you. The strength is in God. Whose heart is set on a pilgrimage or a journey. Now, in this, he says, there is a focus in this person's life. There's already a focus in that they are fixed on being in the house of God. There's a focus in that they are praising God. There's a focus in that they are relying on God because they have no strength in themselves, right? Whose strength is in you. And there's a focus in that they are on a journey. That they know that they are pilgrims. That they are traveling. That they are passing through this world. And that's what the next verse actually says. But their heart is set on a journey. What is that journey? It is to be with Jesus. It is to be near to him. It is the passion and the goal of their walk. And it is knowing that the ultimate journey will be to be in the presence of God. Disentangled from the temporary, holding on to the eternal. It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping, Or you've heard the expression of the veil of tears. Have you heard that expression? Life is a veil of tears. This is where it comes from. As they pass through the veil of tears, or the valley of Baca, the valley of sorrow. And it is a picture of the desert. It is a picture of barrenness. As they go through the barren wilderness, as they go through the dry, dusty valley, where there is no sustenance in that valley, in a desert valley, it says they make it a spring. And the rain also covers it with pools. And one translation says, they leave behind springs and pools. So as they come to a desert place, a place where there is no provision, a place where there is there's nothing, they leave something behind them as they go. It's like wherever their footsteps, a spring and a pool comes up. That's a nice picture, isn't it? It's a picture that not only are they satisfied because their strength is in God, not only are they satisfied because their hearts are set on the Lord and they're praising God and they're dwelling in the presence of the Lord, but they are leaving provision behind for others. There is a sense where as you walk full of the Spirit of God, that there's an overflow from your life that will affect others. Did not Jesus say in John chapter 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink? And what was his promise? He who believes on me. Okay, what else? As the scripture has said, out of his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. So he's not only going to be full, but it's going to be overflow. Not only is it going to be overflow, not a trickle overflow, not one stream overflow, but rivers of water flowing from that person who's drinking at the fountain of God. What a blessed picture. And we could see it here even in this passage as well, that as I drink, as I walk with God, he fills me up, but oh, it just doesn't stop there. It overflows. And not only does it overflow, but there's abundance of overflow. This is what God gives to us as we are passionate about God, as we are seeking him, as he becomes the crown jewel of our life, as he becomes the one that we long for more than anything else, to long to be with God. The Apostle Paul could say such startling words, I would sooner depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You're given the choice right now. Stay here or go to heaven right now. Would you be passionate about it? Would there be a hesitation? Would you say, well, Lord, I'm really glad I'm going to heaven, but maybe not tonight. What's that?
Next week.
I got this few things I'd like to do yet, right? But Paul says, no, to depart and be with Christ is far better. Do you see the passion? Do you see the vision? Do you see the desire that even expressed itself in his eternal destination? Now, what do I say? I don't want to try you to try to pump up more passion. But we can say, Lord, give me that passion. Give me that hunger. It's the Holy Spirit that creates the hunger. It's the Holy Spirit that fills it up so I can look to him. And so, but the picture here, if someone is focused on the Lord and finds their strength in him and is pressing on in their walk with God, even as they walk through a barren wilderness, they will leave behind refreshment wherever they go. Not only do they do that, it says they go from strength to strength. They find enough strength for whatever circumstance they're facing, and then as the next circumstance comes, what's there?
More strength.
There is a growth in strength. You see, the word strength is mentioned three times from Psalm 84:5 to 84:7. And we find in the first one, their strength is in the Lord. And then later on it says, as they are walking, as they are going forward, they are knowing increased strength from God. More strength. Not just strength, but more strength. God is a God of great abundance. Everyone appears before God in Zion. Each one. So each one who walks in this journey has the privilege of being in the presence of Almighty God. Zion is like heaven, or where God dwells. It's the dwelling place of God. That's what it means. And so there is a sense where right now I can enjoy Zion. I can enjoy heaven because heaven is in my heart, because Jesus is here. And there is also the sense that I will see him and know him in even a far greater way, and I will appear before God in Zion. What blessed assurance, what blessed promises are ours as he creates a hunger and thirst and fills that hunger and thirst with himself. I was visiting Jean when she was still at home in her bed, and Jean Shepherd. And basically, if you remember, she thought she was all done, it was over. She was going to die within the next day or two. Do you remember? How long did she live after that?
That was in summer. That was August.
Yes. And when was...
November.
November. So from August to November. And actually, when I went to visit her, she was somewhat frustrated. And she said to me, "Why am I still here?"
What? She thought that all along, the rest of it.
What's that?
She thought that the rest of the time.
Yeah, she? Yeah. And so she was, you know, kind of feeling blue about it and said, "Why doesn't the Lord just take me home? I know I'm going to die, and why doesn't he hurry up and do it?" sort of thing. And I went to this verse of scripture and I said, "Look, Jean," I said, "you pursue the Lord even now. Walk with him intensely now. Seek his face now. You're going through the valley of weeping, but you can leave behind springs and pools for other people. Your walk with God, even through the valley of the shadow of death, will leave behind springs and pools for other people. God has a purpose in this." And every time I visited her after that, she would say, "Psalm 84. I've been thinking about Psalm 84. God has a purpose in me staying here a little longer. I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it, but I trust that the Lord has a purpose and that I'm going to leave behind springs and pools for other people. I'm going to bless other people." And so there was a great comfort and great joy came from this passage of scripture for her. In the midst of utter weakness and even despair, God visited her and showed her that there is a place where we can be a blessing to others as we seek God and walk with him. And each one will appear before God in Zion. So there's the passion, the deep abiding passion of someone who says, "God, you first. You first. And Lord, you first more and more. Everything about me desires you." What a good place to go. Oh, grow in this. It's not too late to grow in it. It can be the last months of our life and we can grow in this pursuit of God and the joy and the experiences that come from it and the strength that we receive from the Lord. And so the psalmist goes on in his prayer, "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob." Selah pauses again, reflects on this. "Oh Lord, I need to be in fellowship with you. O God, behold our shield. Look on the face of your anointed." And in a sense he's saying, "Lord, you're my shield, you're my protector, and I need you. I need you to be gazing on me, O Lord. I need you. I need all that you have for me, Lord. Look on the face of your anointed." Your anointed, those whom you have chosen, Lord. "For what? A day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." How expressive this is, and how clear it is. If you had a choice of 1,000 days, which is how long? 3 years? Around 3 years. A little less than 3 years. You had a choice of 1,000 days. 1 day in the presence of the Lord is worth more than 3 years. That's what he says. 1 day with Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I wonder, do we have this kind of passion? I read this and I say, Lord, oh God, I want more passion for you. I need more passion for you, Lord. I can get passionate about other things and I can get so distracted. And all the while the Lord's saying, come meet with me. Come visit me. Seek him first in the morning. Early in the morning, the psalmist wrote, I will seek you. Seek him first in the morning. Seek him throughout the day. Be passionate about pursuing God. And then he says, I would just rather, even if I was just a doorkeeper, even if I was just at the doorway of the house of God, it would be greater than being in the tents of wickedness. Just near to the house of God is worth more than all the wicked things that go on in this world. Lord, I may not be all the way in. I may not be at the very Holy of Holies. I may not be all of that. But if I was just at the doorway, if I could just get glimpses of you, it would be far greater than being in the world. Why? Because the Lord God is a sun and a shield. That is, he is pouring out blessing. And he is providing. That's what the sun does. It provides. He is the full provider of light and love and everything that I need. And he is also my protector too. He is looking after me in every single way. And the Lord will do something. Isn't this a great promise? Oh, take hold of this promise. Live in this promise. He says the Lord will give grace and glory. He will. He will give grace and glory. Do you doubt him? Do you feel sometimes, oh God, how can I get this passionate for you? Oh Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. He will give grace and he will give glory. Grace is God's undeserved favor on you. Glory is the very character of God being on you. The very person of God. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How can I walk uprightly? Because my strength is in the Lord. Isn't that what he said? Whose strength is in you, Lord? As we walk in humble dependence upon the Lord, he gives everything that we need. He does not hold back. O Lord of hosts. The word hosts here means the armies, Lord of all the armies. In other words, supreme ruler of all things. Blessed is the man or the woman who does what? Who trusts in you. That's a summary statement at the end of this psalm to say, what I'm talking about is trusting God. It's really casting yourself on the Lord for everything. And there is great and rich blessings for us there. What a psalm of hunger. What a psalm of pursuit of God. And what an encouragement to us to do the same. We'll look at a verse in Psalm 27 in closing, which reminds me of this particular one. Psalm 27:4, David was surrounded by his enemies. Instead of just focusing on the enemies and even turning to God and say, Lord, help me, save me from my enemies, save me from my enemies. David says this, in the midst of being surrounded by his enemies, Psalm 27:4, he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. That's what I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In other words, David says, the most important thing to me is to be with God, right? To be with Him, to see His beauty and to learn from Him. Because then he says, for in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above all my enemies all around me. So I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing as I will sing praises to the Lord. Very similar. Oh, seek the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's have some passion for Jesus Christ. Archie's got passion for his wife. At least he says he does. Well, let's us have some passion for Jesus Christ. Growing, real, vibrant, living passion for Jesus Christ. And as we grow in this, all the blessings, the panoramic blessings that will be poured out on our lives that we have seen in this psalm, they are ours in God. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and discover all his goodness. Praise the Lord.
I got a question on that there. When you see the question, I got.
Yeah.
This here, all this here was written for the Father.
For the Father?
Yeah.
For God. Who would have been the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Saying, but this here was really written for the Father, wasn't it? Like they didn't acknowledge the Son at that time.
Well, it's difficult to say that. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says they all drank from the same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. As he speaks about Moses and the children of Israel, said they drank from the spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ.
They look forward to Messiah.
They looked forward to a Messiah, but the Messiah was there too in the Old Testament. Jesus was there. He was the one that was interacting with them. It says the rock was Christ. So it was not like Jesus wasn't there in the Old Testament. He was there. They were praising God. They didn't understand the fullness of who God was. They didn't understand the fullness of the triune nature of God, but they were still praising God. And when it says, how lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. That includes the Son as well as the Father. But what was the point of that? What were you?
Well, I was just wondering, it seemed like, and then Jesus said he couldn't do anything on his own without the Father leading him or guiding him.
Right? Yes, yes.
And it seems like with all our emphasis is placed on Jesus.
Yes.
Mostly all the teachings and all the instructions and everything are mostly read. Emphasis is put on Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And we sort of ignore the Father a little. Seems like that.
Yeah, I understand. But remembering, as we saw in Hebrews, that Jesus is the express image of the Father.
Yeah.
That he is the Father personified. Remember what Jesus said when Philip said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied in John chapter 14. And Jesus said, have I been with you this long, Philip, and you don't know who I am? He who has seen me has seen the Father.
But still, don't you think that we should be, recognizing the Father?
Sure.
More so. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
In
yeah, we should be praising God in all his fullness.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Because actually we have more knowledge, in one sense, than they did in the Old Testament of the nature of God. Yeah. But there's no question that the scriptures tell us that Jesus is to receive the same worship as the Father. In John chapter 5, it says, all men should honor the Son equal to or the same as they honor the Father.
Well, it doesn't say not honor the Father.
Oh, no, of course not. Of course not. Yeah, very true. So, let me encourage you to seek the Lord passionately. Maybe this week, say, okay, Lord, give me a hunger for yourself greater than Candy Crush, greater than movies, greater than the pool, greater than fishing, greater than anything, greater than being a pastor, greater than ministry, is actually seeking God himself. Seek God for God. And there's so much blessing there. So much blessing. You'll find yourself praising him if you actually take the time to be with him. You'll be praising him. Just as it said in the psalm here in Psalm 84, it says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. And the word dwell means what? Live there. Make yourself at home there, right? It's not visit, but live there. They will still be praising you. Praise God. Anyway, that's the passage the Lord laid on my heart for this evening. I trust it's been a blessing to you.